We are talking tonight about Session 10, Out with the Old and In with the New. Tonight I'm going to deal with Satan's final revolt and his final defeat. The Great White Throne Judgment is a judgment that you do not want to be around. I can assure you of that. That is the total wrath of God on display. That is against all those who have refused to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And then we'll go to the destruction of the present heaven and heavens and the present earth. Now, when I'm saying that, you need to understand this. That's the reason I keep saying it over and over again. Folks, this heaven and this earth will remain till the end of the thousand-year reign with Christ. Man is not going to destroy God's creation. It's not possible. Man will destroy himself over the foolishness and even with the war machines. But they cannot destroy totally that which God has created. Then we go to the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, and from there, eternity. Now, eternity is in the heart of man. Eternity is what I was talking about this morning when we talk about joy. Joy for us is an eternal state of being. Joy is an eternal state of being. Joy in Christ. Therefore, it is not just a feeling or an emotion. It is an eternal state because we live eternally. We are eternal beings. Man was never created to ever die. Then man sins. Man messes up. So therefore we have death. And we have destruction. The earth was cursed by God. Man and woman were not cursed by God. The earth was cursed. Why? I don't have any idea. I do believe or know that I will find out on the other side when we get there. But God placed the curse on the earth. And from that point, the earth began to die. Man, because of sin, began to die physically. But man cannot die totally, spiritually. We are created in the image of God, and all the human race that has ever existed or ever will live eternal somewhere, heaven or hell. You got two choices, heaven or hell. Now, let's look first of all at Satan's final revolt and defeat. Remember, second coming. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, that is when all the saints of old, of the Old Testament, remember, at the rapture, that's when all the church age, that's all of us, the blessed with the grace part, whoo, you hear me get excited every time I get into this, but that's when we're taken up to be with Christ. We come back at the second coming of Christ. That's at the time of the resurrection then of all the Old Testament saints. Let's do it that way. At that point, they are resurrected, and we are all together. At that point. Now, we're going now to Satan's final revolt and defeat. Jesus has reigned for 1,000 years. Interestingly enough, in that 1,000-year reign, as multiple of millions are born and get together, billions, let's do it that way, throughout the world, then it comes to the end of the millennial reign. I'm forgetting something here. Let me grab it for you. It's in here somewhere. It is a focus of that during that 1,000 years, the monarchy of Christ, Christ is priest. Christ reigns. Christ says, are there laws? Yes. It is the mercy laws of Christ. It is the law of God that exists. During that period of time, people can sin, and they do sin. But now Christ is on the throne of David. He is ruling on the physical throne of David. And he has people are coming in and going out from him. And those individuals, you will find, as you have today, many who profess to believe, but they really do not believe. Because Christ is reigning. Christ is ruling. Man still has that freedom to choose. And they pretend like that they have truly, truly are believers. And of course, they love what Christ is doing for them. You're in the Garden of Eden, folks. For 1,000 years, we do not want to mess it up. Although, according to Scripture, there's some who do. And they're judged for that at that point, and they will die at that point. Now, the end of the 1,000-year reign. Let's read it. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. When the 1,000 years come to an end, Satan will be let out of his prison. Remember, he was thrown into the abyss. He will go out to deceive the nations, called Gog and Magog, in every corner of the earth. Satan is released. He goes out to deceive. Let me tell you what this is related to here. This still relates to the human propensity to sin, the human desire to sin, to do evil without Satan. 1,000 years has gone by without Satan. Satan now is released, and the human race is still in a mess. Even after serving Christ in the Garden of Eden for that 1,000 years, I'm using that as an analogy, which it'd be close to the way it is, the Garden of Eden. And here they are, for Gog and Magog, throughout the nations in every corner of the earth. Satan, he will gather them together for battle, a mighty army. And now think of this. Everybody's had it good, great for this 1,000 years. Satan pops up and he's able to get an army just like that. An army that can't be counted, as numberless as sand along the seashore, the Scripture says. And I saw them as they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city. But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. So, the final battle, Gog and Magog, after the 1,000-year reign, the final battle is set. It's the battle that's never fought. It's the battle that's never fought. Does Christ come back down, you know, or does Christ go up, you know, and come down like he did on the second coming? And that, no. No. This is God saying, I told you all, when I say enough's enough, enough's enough. They gather their armies. The pride is there. The excitement about fighting against Christ. Satan's got them all cheering up and excited about it. And what happens? But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. Why? It didn't even amount to anything. They just all came in one spot and God wiped them out. Then the devil, who had deceived them, payday someday, was thrown into the fire lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. Remember? Jesus threw them in there. Remember? When he came back on the second coming. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Do you see anywhere in Scripture where any of these who fight against Christ, any of these who go against God, any of these who refuse to accept Christ, that they ever die? No. They live eternally. Here's the problem with them. Remember on the resurrection of the dead, us, the saints, and the resurrection of the saints of Old Testament. Come forth, their bodies are changed, our bodies are glorified. Meaning we have a new glorified body just like Jesus that can be at one spot, be at another spot, can zoom across whatever. And I'm lacking that part too, Randy. And, you know, can do all of this. But the ones who refuse to accept Christ, they are resurrected. They are to live in the human physical body of torment throughout eternity. Do you know what a little pain that we have here? All of us. Everybody in this room got some pain. They might be sitting aside of you, but you got pain. I guarantee you. Okay. All of us then can imagine, you know, what little pain we have. Can you imagine living forever and wanting to die but not being able to? Wanting to get out of the human suffering but not being able to? When you refuse to accept love, peace, joy, happiness, the blood of Christ, the ultimate of the sacrifice for you, when you refuse to accept His blood, then you have refused the peace that would come to you. How do we handle that? From our human minds, we're going to say, but isn't there a way for them to get out of that? Because humanly, see, I don't want to see them in that shape for eternity. You think God did? God sent Jesus so nobody would have to be. God put every roadblock up in our life so that we would recognize what He is offering is that peace and that love. Here's what will happen as soon as we get the glorified body. We will, remember, we'll know as we are known. At that time, we will know as we are known. We will see sin for what it really is. You're not going to see that loved one down there that you thought was your loved one from the human standpoint. You're going to see sin as sin truly is, the way God sees sin. Therefore, our eyes will be opened, and that part of it is not a focus that you and I can deal with here with our humanism, but at that point, you will be given the grace to understand it, and you will see sin for the way it is. Sin is what destroyed God's children. God, it does not treat sin lightly. God says, I hate it. Now, when God's hating something, then you better pay attention to what He's hating. I pay attention to what He's loving me. God said He loves me. See, I get stuck on God loves me, and I know it. Praise you the Lord, hallelujah. I want to sing and shout, why? God loves me. When God tells you that He hates something, then that's when your ears ought to perk up. If God hates to the extent that He loves me, can you imagine what is waiting for those individuals at our next point here? It's called a great white throne judgment. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Yet the Scripture tells us there are two deaths. It is an appointed time for you and I are going to die. You're going to die. You've got to leave this physical body. You can't enter heaven in this physical human body. You can't come in the presence of God. God said, I want you in my presence. Therefore, you got to give up that human body to be in my presence. I've appointed this time for you to die. You cannot go beyond that particular time. You can kill yourself, you can do this dumb stuff and die sooner, but you cannot die later than that. It is appointed, you will die on that day, or at that point in your life. Therefore, There's a great white throne judgment, which is called the second death. Our appointed time, we die. I'm saved, therefore I only die once. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it, the earth and sky filled with his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, all the rich and mighty, down to the poverty-stricken who refused to accept Christ. And the books were open, including the book of life. See, that's the book your name is in. That's the book your name remains in. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Okay. You want to reject Christ in grace and mercy and reject the book of life? Then you reject that. So how are you going to be judged then at the great white throne judgment? You will be judged according to your own actions. You will be the witness against yourself. Your own actions are going to be the prosecutors against those who have not accepted Christ, because you're not dealing. You rejected grace. You rejected mercy. You rejected the blood of Christ and his sacrifice and taking the punishment. So therefore, the dead were judged according to what they had done. You got that? I can't be judged for what I've done. I can only be seen in the eyes of God through the blood of Christ, by grace. By grace I am saved. I'm saved by what Christ did, not what I've done. But the lost, according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Add one of the books there for you. You see the book of life and then the other books. I think I may have told you this, but remember, the Bible is one of the books that's brought out here. That's the main book of God that he has, that we have had as a guideline since whenever we got it. Right? That book's going to be there. Did you not read this? Did anybody not listen to Brother Larry when he preached that sermon? I gave it to him. Don't you remember he didn't go by one note that he was had studied on all week long, and I pulled him off of it, kept him up at night. Did anybody pay attention to that? So therefore, as recorded in the books, the sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. Oh, it's a come to Jesus moment, folks, for the lost. And all were judged according to their, you see it, deeds. Is a Christian judged according to our deeds? Boy, aren't you thankful for that one. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. Woo! Death and grave. No more dying. No more graves. Somebody will protest that. Grave diggers are going to be out of a job. Surely to goodness. Let's see it. Yeah, okay. This lake of fire is the second death. Told you that, but I thought I better read it. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Who gets thrown in the lake of fire? Anybody that's not in the book of life. Is your name in the book of life? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I made the list. My name's there. I didn't have a thing to do with it. Jesus did it all. And I'm so thankful. Because, picture it. With my mouth, I mean, I'd split hell wide open. And Phyllis, I'm sorry, honey. You'd be right there, too. All of us. Think of that. But it is by grace I am saved. All right. The destruction then of the present heavens and the earth takes place after this. You ready? Matthew 4, verse 35. Heaven and earth will disappear. But pay attention to something here. But my words will never disappear. Okay? Are we not taught? Do you not hear your pastor saying it every Sunday? It is the word of God. My words will never disappear. What you're hearing me preach now, what you hear me preach all the time, what you read in the scripture, you will know that that word will never disappear. The word of God will always be playing. You mean we're going to have a tape recording of all? Folks, the word of God is in the universe. The word of God circles. It's a circular motion. And the word of God continues. No matter where you will fly to, Gene, from universe to universe, you're going to hear the word of God. It's going to be a whole lot of learning to go. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 13. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, now listen to this, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. You don't notice that at any time present, do you? They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything had remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command. And he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient. For your sake, he does not want anyone to be destroyed. Now, you got that? God does not want anyone to be destroyed. Why would I want that? Why would any other human being want that? God doesn't. But wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and a new earth. He has promised a world filled with God's righteousness. That's not on this earth. This earth is messed up. This earth is going to be totally destroyed. But Revelation 21, 1b. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the new sea was also gone. A new sea came about during the second coming of Christ. There's a lot that I went over real quick during that, so I'll remind you of that. Then we go to the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. Remember who created everything that exists? God. With a word. Huh? God said, zap. Yeah. Think of that. Shirley, zap, you exist. There's Shirley. Right there. Proof. Right there. What I just said. Right there she is. Okay. Now God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth. Isaiah 66 verses 22 through 24. As surely as my new heavens and earth will remain, so will you always be my people with a name that will never disappear, says the Lord. Ah. People say, well, you're talking about the Jewish nation. Folks, you hear me well on this. The Jewish nation is going to repent and become Christian. You hear me?
Yeah.
The name is always going to be Christ. The name is always going to be Jesus. He's the only one who died. He's the only one who could sacrifice. Therefore, it is all about who Jesus is. There will never be another way to heaven other than the name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, those who had denied him for so long, a whole nation, will understand that Jesus is Lord. You got that? But I keep hearing the teachers and all talking about, yeah, well, the Jews will have it this way, and the Christians will have it that way. And I'm thinking, where are you getting that stuff? We are one people under one name, are we not? And God sent his only begotten Son. There is one Son, one God, one Spirit, one baptism. Okay.
All Christians.
All humanity, verse 23, all humanity will come to worship me from week to week and from month to month. Oh, we're establishing the new timelines of month to month and week to week in the new world? Okay, pay attention. And as they go out, they will see the dead bodies of those who have rebelled against me, for the worms that devour them will never die, and the fire that burns them will never go out. All who pass by will view them with utter horror. Oh, this doesn't sound right. I thought heaven and not, again, let me remind you of something. Think of this. You will see sin as it really is. The horror of what and of those who reject Christ, you will see it. You will see the evil for what evil truly is, the true, pure evil, the horror of that evil. Now, are we cleaning it up? No, God is, though. God's cleaning up. Listen, let's keep going. You ready? For the worms that devour them will never die. Remember where the worm dieth not and fire. Okay. All who pass by will view them with utter horror. This is a state of being of those who are lost. The lost, those individuals who've rejected Christ, will live in a state of horror for eternity. There's never any turning back. Look at Isaiah 65, verse 17. Look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will ever think about the old ones anymore. Is there a viewing line? Evidently there is. We are present during the millennial reign. We're obviously present during the judgment seat of Christ, where it is a judgment seat of passing out honors. It's not a judgment of right or wrong. It's passing out the honors. for the Christian. But in the process of doing this, we have stories in Scripture that will remind us that those that will be in hell will be able to see into heaven. Remember the rich man Lazarus dying. Okay. Will be able to see what they missed. And the Scripture tells us also that those who would want to go to them could not. Meaning if there was anyone who wanted to go there, couldn't. And those who are there could never cross the great gulf to come to heaven. Okay. No one will ever think about the old ones anymore. You know why? You're in your glorified body, folks. What you think right now is a human thought, a human process. You think humanly. You have human desires, human needs, and human wants, right? With a glorified body in our glorification as Christ, it is spiritual. We don't think the way we're thinking now. That's why it's so difficult to change from the way we think to what the Scripture is saying it's going to be. If I were to look on something like that, how can I see the love of Christ in such horror? You can't. That's what makes it horror. The love of Christ is the opportunity for right now, for whosoever will accept him. To miss that, you got to work at doing it. As I say it all the time, you got to work to go to hell. It's hard. So much love and grace around. 2 Peter 3:13, but we are looking forward to the new heavens and the earth he has promised. A world filled with God's righteousness. Full righteousness of God. Oh, yes. That'd be a change, wouldn't it? Revelation 21, the first part of verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, that's going to be exciting.
Does that mean hell is gone when the new heaven is born?
Yes, sure. Hell is cast in. It's separate from us.
Okay.
Ever again.
World.
Yes. Now, you got to remember this. Of his creating power and love, there is no end. What God will continue to create, universes are all, he will continue to create. But we will be with him during the creating process, and we will be ministering on his behalf. We will stand with God. Oh, it's got to be an exciting time, doesn't it? The word heaven occurs about 550 times in the Bible. Heaven is a general word that is used to describe three different heavens. I thought you would find this interesting. The three different heavens that exist, here they are. The first heaven is the atmospheric heaven, the abode of the birds. When they fly into your airplane and you got to land real quick because they came through the windshield. The abode of the birds. The second heaven is the stellar or celestial heaven, home of the sun, the moon, the planets, and the stars. That's the second heaven you will read about in Scripture. The third heaven, the divine heaven. That's God's home, the abode of God. Third heaven. Who went to the third heaven and saw it? John may have seen the third heaven too, but do you remember?
In Revelation, didn't we see the throne?
But don't you remember another one?
It's Paul.
Paul. Apostle Paul. And I went to the third heaven and remember what he's saying? Because people thought Paul was crazy. Boy, they thought John was crazy. They thought all Christians were crazy. Let's do it that way. Yeah, just like today. That's right. Now, Paul said, I was taken there, whether in the spirit or physically. See, it was such an experience. Paul could not understand whether he was taken in the spirit, but it was so real what he saw in the third heaven. It was so real that he didn't know whether he was there physically or spiritually. That's how real it was to him. But then on both occasions with those who have been to the third heaven, notice we see certain things we're told by John and even by Paul. But do you notice that both John the Beloved and the Apostle Paul make a statement that they could not speak about what they saw? There were no words to describe it. People said, well, God shut them up. We're still in a human body. You cannot appear into the abode of God and be able to explain that with human words. So they just were silent. I was there, but can't tell you what I saw. I'll refer to it as gold. I'll look at them as pearls and jewels, and I see all of these things. This is how I can relate to it. The majestic emeralds, I'll tell you about those. But now, do you really believe that it's not greater than that you can imagine? Yes. Had to use, thank you, it was the analogy I was thinking of. Kidder wasn't helping me at all. It was an analogy. He's supposed to know what I'm trying to think of. Let's look at eternity next. Revelation 21, verses 9 through 22. Now, that should go all the way up to the 27. Don't I have that? No, and then the 22, 1 through 6. Okay, that's what it is. Okay, 21, starting with verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, come with me, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by the 12 angels. Names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were 3 gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. When he measured it, he found it was a square as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick. Man, that's a thick wall, isn't it? According to the human standard used by the angel. Remember, you're looking at spiritual matters trying to explain into the earthly language or understanding. The wall was made of jasper. The city was pure gold. What could you think of as more pure than gold or more beautiful? I don't know what it is, but pure light is more beautiful than white snow. The light of Christ is what the beauty of Christ is, yet I don't understand light in that way. I will one day. Wall was made of jasper, city pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on foundation stones laid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh was chrysolite, the eighth was beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophase phrase, the 11th, I can't even pronounce the English word for it, or the human word, okay. The 11th was jacinth, the 12th amethyst. You know I butchered those, right? Okay, you don't care either, do you? No, me neither. The 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl. Oh, man, can you talk about a feast on that oyster? Oh, man, you can't eat that raw oyster. Okay. And the main street was pure gold, and it's clear as glass. See, the analogy there, pure gold is clear as glass. I don't relate to gold being clear like glass, so that's difficult. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. It's a little light of mine. The nations will walk in its light. And the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Sounds like a new world has got some order to it, doesn't it? With ruler, okay. Things continue, folks. They change, but it will continue. Its gates will never be closed at the end of day. Why? Because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter. Yeah. But yes, Randy. Let Randy get back there for you. Oh, man, he's moving tonight, isn't he?
Okay, the last sentence. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city, but nothing evil will be allowed to enter. There isn't going to be any more evil, is there?
Oh, now listen to this. You're talking about God's creation as he continues to create. There won't be where we are, no. The new heavens and the new earth that come down, that is pure. We got that. Do you remember another scripture that you'll have where the saints will go out from God and they will come back in the presence of God? That pertains to us, where we're going to come back into the presence of God, where there is no sin, is in the city. You and I are on the new heaven and the new earth. Does evil continue to exist? Not where we are, no. Now, and your question is apropos. Because we're reading about evil can't come in, so they keep it out, yet these people come in and bring honor. What does that mean? I don't know. That's why you're asking me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if he destroyed out everybody and threw them into the burning lake of fire, why weren't these things thrown into the lake of fire?
But think of it this way again, Dolores. His creating continues. Will there be another human race? Okay. How many times do we have in record of the earth being destroyed by the flood? Remember the flood? No. There's only 6, 8 that lived through the flood. How many? No, 6 or 8?
Eight, yeah.
8 delivered through the flood. The earth started over from those 8. The human race began again from those 8 people. Right? Yes.
Yes, right. But
okay.
Under a different condition.
The new heaven and the new earth, again, does not stop God's creating authority or power that he continues to create. Will he create more human beings? More? Evidently, he does. Evidently, he continues in this creating process throughout eternity. We are glorified. Where did these people come from? When we get there, you and I can discuss it. And we'll learn together. Lord, the Apostle Paul said that himself. He could not understand what was going on. Every professor I remember ever having, all they talked about was, I don't understand this. Because I thought, and then they would explain it this way, Dr. Redding would. one of my most favorite. That's our problem, my Christian brethren. That's our problem. We think
that there's no salvation for those who have already gone to hell. I mean, there's no
That's correct. There's no change for them, those who have already died. Yes. But does it get confusing? It won't. Let's do it that way. It won't be confusing for us. It's only confusing now because, again, you're dealing in spiritual times, spiritual matters, in your human mind, right? You still are in the human mind. Where did the bad people come from? She sees it because of its gates will never be closed night, and all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
So doesn't that mean everything else is destroyed and they're all gone?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Maybe I'm looking at it oversimplistically. You've got the new earth, the new heaven.
Yes.
And everything there is godly. But nothing says that the lake of fire doesn't exist. All the evil is still there.
Yeah, it is, yes.
So there's your evil.
And they can never enter in.
They can never enter faith.
They
That's
can never enter
here.
In where you
nothing
are.
Nothing can enter. That's what it says.
Yes.
So they do exist, but they will not interface with us.
For eternity. They
For eternity.
Exist. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Don. But I can tell you, only the evil separated from the good for the first time. And it can never enter into the new heaven and new earth. Yeah. Nothing evil will ever be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can look at it this way also. I've studied this too long. I can look at it this way also from the standpoint of that wherever the saints are, evil can no longer come into that. But as Don was saying, evil's still been thrown into the lake of fire. It's been where the punishment throughout eternity. We live in the glory of God throughout eternity. How do those two have connection? I don't know. It goes back, Gene, I guess, to the Lazarus and the rich man again. It goes back to that vision that he's giving. From hell, the rich man is looking up, wanting to get to heaven, or to go back and warn, and yet we're told that that can't happen. But they will be able to see in and know what's going on in heaven. And he even said, go back and warn my brothers. Okay.
You can't go back.
Nope. Can't go back. Can't go to it. So the vision has got to be there, doesn't it, Randy? Throughout eternity, where they can see in and see out. But what else are we going to be doing? I don't know. I don't know those answers, folks. Yeah. Yeah. I keep looking for the supper time myself. I can't get past that one. I'm still at the banquet table, Don. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 6. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Flowing from the throne of God. Where's it flowing to? Okay. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life. The tree of life been regrown? Bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month.
Boy, that's good.
Yeah, it's going to be good, ain't it? Yeah. So much for gravy and biscuits. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. Really, those nations needed healing.
They had to go to a
Yeah. Oh, Yeah, pharmaceutical companies are gone, Gene. They're out of here. No more overcharging. No longer will there be a curse upon anything. Phew. For the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. And they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. Reign. Reign with God forever and ever. What are we reigning over if there are not more things going on? Huh? Okay. Then the angel said to me, everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God, who inspires his prophets, has sent his angel to tell his servants what will happen soon. Now,
who is the author of this? John?
The author is Jesus. John's the penman. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. Yes. John is the penman, but it is the revelation of Jesus. Revelation is never pronounced in the plural. It's always singular. The revelation, you hear people say, the book of Revelations. No, one revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why is it so difficult for us to understand? It is the revelation of Christ to the human race. This is going to happen. Do you understand your salvation, how you got saved? No. But I know I did, and I know I am. But I don't understand it. I don't understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But I understand that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one God relating to me.